Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to A-List Babble Z, episode 319. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by... Can you guys hear me?
And Trioptical.
Oh, that was weird.
I could hear you. And there seems to be something happening with RPG's connection.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. What's been playing? We don't have a metal segment, but we'll see what happens. And the news... So I guess as has been established in canon for the podcast, I can go first with what I've been playing.
Canon.
Anyway.
It's loose. You know, we understand the island. There's the guy in the corner sometimes. There's the Rapitap, which is some sort of creature who lives around here.
It's an aimless Pokemon.
Yeah. I guess I'll start with that game I hate. Because I, you know...
Because you love it?
You know.
And you played it a lot.
I know, right?
You know, trying to call... When people say things for me, it makes me feel that much worse about this situation. But I did play it a lot. And, yeah. Whatever. So, that game, that starts with a D.
He loves it. It's called Destiny, guys. Yeah. He loves it.
I'm nearing the finish line because I've gotten two of the exotic class items on my Warlock. I got... One on the Hunter and one on the Titan. Yeah, one on the Hunter and one on the Titan. And then I almost have the second one on the Hunter and Titan, but we'll get there. And the Warlock's almost done. And I was able to use, it was weird. Because I basically used all my War Chest of, all my Ascendant materials from, all the time I've been playing this game. In year one, doing, the daily hero commissions and all that crap. All my Ascendant shards and, energy, almost gone. It's, almost gone. I've been all my modes of light. I just turned them in. I was like all 6,000 of them. So yeah.
Oh my.
Not enough to get three characters to level 25 if you're wondering. So two got there. Titan didn't get there. But hey, whatever. what a ride it's been grinding up those materials just to pee them all away in some crappy exotic class item quest. Whatever.
He loves it, guys. He loves it. He said keep it up for next Destiny. He'll be there. He loves it.
And then, of course, in the raid, I didn't get a helmet drop on Orc, so still 334. Ghost yourself, Destiny. What else? Oh, man, so many heroic strikes. This game, what's it done to me? Basically, what I do is when I'm playing now, it's I didn't put my headset on to, listen to the audio. It's I put on the headset that's connected to my computer, and I listen to Spotify or some drum and bass mix on YouTube I'll listen to, or just anything to just drown out the sad reality that I'm just sitting here playing this game for 3 hours at a time to get 10 heroic strikes done. It's just why am I doing this to myself? I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It's weird. I need to stop.
I love it.
I'm almost there though. I can see the finish line. I'll be free soon and no more of this game and I'll be happy. And then, at E3, I mean, I'm sure they can do amazing things to, turn this game around for other people, but Tekken's had his fun, and he's punched his ticket, and the train has left the station, and I'll be selling it away to somewhere else when September rolls around, and it's new expansion, guys, or whenever Destiny 2 comes out, whatever. Tekken out, mic drop, so... You remember Destiny for me after this and stuff. So you're just
lies.
Just gotta get my exact class items, gotta get my chaperone, and team up with my Trials Mercenary buddies and get my fellowship for year two and the new emblem that they have. So the nice Persian kitty. But that's all I've been doing in Destiny, just grinding away, hating my life, and yeah, the game I play, but I can't stop because I don't know.
He loves it.
It's okay. I mean, there's some redeeming qualities. I get to throw Nova bombs around and stuff, but that grind, man, it'll get you. It didn't break me, but yeah, because I will get to the end, and I will survive, like that song says.
He loves it.
It was an adventure and stuff. Besides that game that I can't stand playing, but I keep playing because I'm terrible... played some Volume on the Vita. This game is interesting, I gotta say, because I didn't know what to expect. I just saw, the preview when it was, coming out, the trailer. I was oh, it's a stealth game. Stealth. It is interesting, because it's basically, VR missions with story time. Because it's, you go through the stages, and it gives you mechanics of, how to sneak around, and there's different types of enemies and different things they do to get you, and like when they spot you, there's different things they do to neutralize you. That's like, oh, some of them are one hit kills, some of them are snipers, so they can see you from really far away, but they're super slow to get back on you. And then you get like all these different abilities, which is pretty cool. And then like towards the very end, because there's 100 levels of this game, so it's like you just do them one at a time. Wow. So it's very portable friendly. Because it's like one at a time. Okay, and I'm like 80 something. I'm in the 80s. I'm almost there. And then I just got this invisibility power, and it's like funny because like you're working with this AI that's helping you, and then like they send you like these message files, logs, things in the stage, and like one just said, you know, this invisibility power would have been really awesome 80 stages ago or something. It's like super trolly, and I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm not even gonna acknowledge this message. Go with yourself, AI. And then you got some like weird, like, you know, there's some government tyranny going on, some weird meta commentary on like streaming. Super weird. It was interesting though, and like it's interesting. There's like all these henchmen that like the dude has, but like you're going through the blueprints of all their buildings to like find out where stuff is, and then like broadcast them to everybody else to like know to get the how to get the secrets or where to go. It's really weird and interesting, but yeah, over my head. So that was neat. There's a different spin on it. I was like, and then like wait, like level 70 or something, there's like a cutscene. It's like, oh, there's a cutscene in this game. It's really weird. It's just like the pacing is like all over the place. Well, it's not all over the place, but it's just like the escalation is very at the back end of the game. Of like once you're past 50, it's like stuff gets crazy. What else? I did enjoy it though. It's pretty cool. So you know, if you're into stealth games, you don't really get to like attack the enemies. You get this one power called the Blackjack, which is just like throwing this thingy at them, but besides that, it's just like sneaking around, making distractions, using other things in the environment to make them go, oh, what was that noise? And they'll just like lug around and move around and do stuff. And yeah, very, very interesting game. Besides that, all I've been playing is the magnum opus that is Uncharted 4 from Naughty Dog, and man, dudes, this game, let me tell you, pretty good. Like, best game I've played so far this year, and it was like, yeah. Like, it looks amazing! It looks, like, I can't, like, understate how good it looks. It's just, this it one time,
ridiculous.
I was, like, in a cutscene, and then it, like, went to gameplay, and I didn't know, and I died, because I was like, cutscene's still going. And then the fire didn't stop, and I was like, "Oh, I should be pushing the thumbsticks." And then explosion,
that's
and
Nathan Drake
perished. And I was like, "Whoops, you got me, Naughty Dog. I couldn't even tell the difference." Bravo, bravo, Naughty Dog. That's just like, yeah. I just gotta give it to you. You guys did an amazing job with this game. It was magnifique. Just after playing the first three and being like, "Okay, I'm ready for this." I have, you know, accepted my fandom of this series. It's grown on me playing the Uncharted collection. And man, Chapter 4, just like the things they do is like, I wouldn't, like, after I played it, I was like, I would like every game I have ever played in my life that is like a series of games to like take this moment with this character that you have built up over more than one game and give them this moment where they are just like chilling, relaxing, all cool, shooting some b-ball outside school and like hanging out.
Oh.
In their
that's not a video game you're referencing.
In the place they live. Yeah. And like, yeah, I'm just doing my thing. I'm not an adventurer anymore. I'm out the game, and this is what I do. And this is my life now. And it's like I've moved on, I'm out the game, I'm retired. It's like, what? You can't do that, Nathan Drake. You're an adventurer. And it's like, no, dude, I don't do it anymore. It's like, sorry. I'm done. But when I'm not doing that, I take out my foam gun and I shoot these targets in my house. And I pretend like I'm on adventure. It's like, oh, Nathan Drake, you stole my heart. It's like, I didn't know there's gonna be room for like other characters besides Garrus Vakarian or, what other characters I have a bro crush on. But you know, Nathan Drake, he's totally up there now after that. I was just like, oh, that scene. Oh, just stole my heart. Just, oh, so good. And then like that, then like the next scene, I'm not gonna say what happens, but there's this awesome Easter egg where it's like stuff goes down and it's like, oh, super nostalgic and just perfect. It was perfection. I was like, I share buttoned it. I was like, I didn't even know I can share button this because it's like super spoilery, but super awesome. And I'll just
sit there
for like 12
months. Do you think that's what they've been teasing all this time?
Possibly, but yeah, actually, Chapter 4 I do with like all the shirts that they've been wearing of like, oh, this game, you'll know when, and now we know because it was magical.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You will.
Can't tell you.
Yeah, we
can't
tell you. It was magical. You have to play it. It's magical. It's a magical moment that we can't
play. I refuse to play it. I refuse.
Like, and then, like, after that scene, he has this amazing conversation with Elena, and it's like, I fell in love with that game. Like, that game was just, like, perfect after that point. It was just like, he built this life. He, like, left the game. He's like, I'm out of it. The thing is dragged back in. It's like, oh, stuff goes down. And just, like, after that, it was like, that was it. It's like, after that, it just kept getting better and better. And it's just like, it didn't stop. And it's like, and then, I'm glad we talked about epilogues in games, because there is one in this one, and it just basically outdoes. It just hits it out of the park. It's like, just amazing home run, like, better than Red Dead. I was like, dude, I knew anything was possible. It's effing possible. And there's, like, another part when, like, they do the same thing where it's, like, you're playing the game, and then the music fades in, the sound fades out. It's like a music video, but I'm not, I'm playing again, and I was like, oh, dude. I was like, that's a dude. I share a button. I was like, I don't even know I can share this because it's super, you'll know when I share it. And I was like, oh, Naughty Dog. Amazing, fantastic, guys, ladies and gentlemen, Naughty Dog, just keep on giving, keep on keeping on, and yeah, thumbs up for me. And that's all I've been playing, and yeah, Uncharted 4 is an amazing game, you should play it.
So are you satisfied, like, if this is the end of Uncharted,
yes,
was that good?
Yes, that was like, they don't need to do any more of these, that was a great send-off, especially that epilogue was just, I mean, it's kind of weird, because like, the epilogue is like, there could be more, but it's like, Just don't ruin it. Don't just do like they do with The Last of Us. Just don't touch it ever again. Mona Lisa, do not defame your art and be like, well, let's go back to the well and try this again. Ho ho. And then Arkham Knight. Just gonna say that. And then there you go. That's all I got to say. And then yeah, that's my answer to that.
They can do it.
Indiana Jones 4.
Crystal Skull. There you go, Chapter Skull. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, that boss, the final boss in this game, I gotta say, like, I'm not gonna say anything about it, but like, I had not played a final boss in this game, like a final boss in a while that has like been as fulfilling as that one was. That was like,
that one was cool.
It's so good. This game, yes. I cannot gush over this game enough. Like, I wish I could just like put a cup of water in my mouth and just like spit all over the floor and be like, that's how much I'm gushing. Cause like, it is like,
That is how
I just want to just go jump in a lake and just be like, and like hold my mouth open. That's how good Uncharted 4 is. Like, I would be like gushing out a lake of liquid. An ocean even. But salt water is like not good for you, so you know. Yeah.
What's happening right now? What's happening?
Uncharted 4 RPG. It's great. It's an amazing experience. You should play this game. It'll change your life. It'll reaffirm your life. That's what it did for me. Because I was a bit down in the dumps, and I played this game, and it lifted my spirits. And I was like, Nathan Drake, I really like this guy. Where he's at? This gives me something to, like, aim for with my life and achieve and stuff. I'm like, do it. I was like, don't let my dreams be dreams. I can just do it, too. I can do it. Just like Nathan Drake. Believe, dudes. Yeah.
That was pretty crazy, because before I started playing it, I saw your tweet that said something like, the visuals just kept getting better and better. It's like, oh, you kept thinking that, oh, this is as good as it is. And then it's like, oh, wow. And I was like, really? And I started playing it. And I was like, oh, man, it is like that. It is kind of crazy. Just everything in the game looks so good. I can't think of, is there anything that looked bad or wrong or, yeah, it is a unbelievable looking game.
Technologically superior. All others just don't even come close.
Really amazing. I actually played, so that's one of the things I played, and I actually played it starting 7 p.m. launch day until I think it was like 10:30 a.m. the next day. Because I thought, Uncharted, you know, I've played Uncharted games. They're not that long. So I'll play it till like 3 and then it'll be done probably and then I'll go to sleep. And like,
But then they were like, LOLs.
Yeah, I just kept playing and playing. It's like, oh, it's dark outside. It's like, well, obviously it's night. Playing and playing. It's like, wow, it's getting light outside. It's like, okay, it was longer than I thought.
Actually, Tropical, I had that happen to me too. I played it launch day, and I was like, off the next day because it's new release day. And then, like, the sun came up, and I was like, I hadn't seen the sunrise in a while. I'll play it again. I was like, ooh, Uncharted. This is going to be magical. This is going to be magical. And it was. It's like, oh, Uncharted. Oh, Uncharted. Oh, what an experience.
Yeah.
It was magical.
Did you get the Monkey Island?
I did
Monkey
not.
Monkey Island references?
I did not.
Oh.
I don't think I played Monkey Island.
It was great. I will tell you that it has to do with portraits that don't have names. And but if you've played Monkey Island, you're like, hey, that guy is familiar looking. And then sigils that happen to be monkeys.
Oh, and then that's the other thing. Well, I guess I'm not gonna talk about it, but there's like a cool thing that happens because it's like they kind of fake a foreshadowing of, like, something that's going to happen. Of, like, you think, like, after playing three Uncharted games, it's like, okay, where's this thingy that usually happens here at this point in the game? And it's like, someone says something, and it's like, don't say that. Or Nathan Drake's like, don't say that. Or, like, Ellen says, like, don't say that. And it's like, or, like, they, like, they're like, one of them says, like, something about, like, something, and then, like, one of them says, don't even say that. And then, like, then you start thinking, wait, is it going to happen? Is it going to, like, was it, and then, like, yeah, it's not. It's like, oh, they faked me out. They faked me out. Oh, good job. You got me.
So, without spoiling it, I think I know what part you're talking about, and they're like, are you just supposed to take the blasts, or can you actually dodge them?
I think you can dodge them, but I don't know if taking them kills you.
You can take a few of them. Oh, so you didn't die?
No, I didn't die.
I died a bunch. Because, like, okay, I don't know how their animation system works, but, like, occasionally the blasts stun you, and then you're just caught. It's like, well, now I'm dead. So it was pretty hilarious at 5 in the morning when all this was going on. Man, it was crazy because there was a few points that were felt like, okay, maybe this is the end. Say, nope. It was like, oh, maybe this is the end. Say, oh, nope, that's not the end. And it just kept going. And then, yeah, it was just like, wow, it doesn't feel excessively drawn out, and yet it was sort of cool. Like, I liked how long it went, even though it messed me up all week. After that, I was like, oh, I didn't sleep that one day because I was playing Uncharted. But yeah, amazing, amazing game. And so I finished that one. I finished a game.
Yeah, me and Michael both finished in games. Be, yes!
I was like, I'm going to finish another game. So I put in Battleborn and decided I'm going to play through the campaign and then see the credits roll. And that counts as finished, right? Oh, my gosh. Battleborn is... okay, there is a campaign, but it's not really... I think it's fair to say that it's definitely not a single-player campaign. Because when you play it by yourself, it is super, super boring. It's just this long grind through tons of enemies. And, you know, you have a limited number of lives. And depending on your character, you may or may not have health regen. So you kind of have to be careful and sort of go through it slowly. And it is just, it's just not fun at all by yourself. Before I started playing it, I saw this video where they're talking about how the campaign doesn't feel very good. And their example was, here, I'm shooting at all these guys, and they're not really reacting to being shot. They're just sort of, you know, they're flashing, but they're not really like in other games, they would stumble or things like that. And that doesn't happen at all in Battleborn.
So they have, like, no reaction to taking damage?
Pretty much, until they die. I think the reason for that is because it's
rated T.
No, it's more towards the, like, it's more and more like a Diablo first person shooter. So, like, crap, what's it called? Borderlands. Borderlands was like they took the loot part of Diablo and they put that in a shooter. And this one is like there's not the same loot thing, but now it's like the combat is like Diablo. So in Diablo games, your attacks and stuff don't really affect the animations of the enemies around you, because some of your skills, or some characters have skills that are totally based around affecting the enemies around them. And if, you know, just regular attacks did that, then those skills would, like, they would be less useful. So that's why it's not fun if you're playing by yourself. Especially in the video, they're playing, like, the most generic, like, soldier guy. And so he just has, like, an assault rifle. And, you know, his skills aren't around crowd control at all. So obviously, like, none of his attacks did anything to the enemies. They're getting hurt and they're dying, but they're not getting stunned. They're not stumbling. You know, nothing to get you out of a tough situation except for killing them. Whereas if you play, you know, crowd control characters, then you can affect the enemies a lot. But then, you know, the game is balanced in such a way, because I think it's primarily a PvP game, is balanced in such a way that if you have lots of crowd control, damage-wise, you probably don't do as much damage. Or you're a melee character only, and then you gotta, like, run up to everyone in order to kill them. So basically, if you're playing by yourself, you're taking, like, well, I can have this really unresponsive feeling, like, shooter, in that, like, you don't feel like you're in the world because the enemies aren't really reacting to you, or you can be in a really reactive world and it just takes you forever to kill anybody. So I learned that from the beta. When I was playing the beta, I was like, oh, single player is so terrible. I'm just going to play public story matches. And I just, like, did matchmaking for the story. There's 8 missions. And there's only one queue for story. You don't get to choose, like, which mission you want to get matched into.
What? So you can't, like, start at the beginning and go from the beginning? Nope. That is bizarre.
You first get matched, and then it gives you 2 choices, or 3 choices, and you get to choose one. And, that's, like, insane. Everyone gets a vote.
So
and
it's then not even like votes. Titanfall, then, where you can just, like, play through it in order.
Yeah, it's not. It's,
that's terrible.
Although, on the plus side, I guess, is, like, the story isn't really linear like that. Every episode is sort of a standalone.
Ah, okay.
It's kind of like, well, you probably saw the video of, like, the opening, that where it's, like, cool. The Saturday morning cartoon.
I like that part. That was, like, well, yeah. I watched someone stream of it, and that's, like, I thought that was, like, the best part. I was, like,
that part was really cool,
really
actually.
Good art instead, Gearbox, they should make Saturday morning cartoon.
Every episode is like that. So it starts off, and there's sort of, like, you know, like, Saturday morning cartoons. There's, like, an intro, and it shows, like, each of the characters, like, oh, Traptical starring as Montana, which was the character I played a lot. And it just, like, it character intros each person, and there's, like, animation parts cut into it. And then you're in the level, and it's just, like, there's no real connection between any of the episodes. It's just, like, yeah, just like old Saturday morning cartoons.
That intro thing, though, in the beta when they were doing that, and it was like that person starring as, and then it'll be their character doing the little pose and stuff. That's kind of cool.
But yep.
The only good thing about the beta.
Well, so I'll say, like, this was a way better way to play through the campaign, because having everyone and, like, the game scales, so there was, like, way more enemies, but because you have, like, this much larger variety of skills, you could do things like, oh, we can, you know, charge this guy with a shield in and knock everyone back, and then they're all stunned over there, and then the guys who do all the damage with the guns just sit back here and, like, shoot them all. Well, as coordinated as a pickup group could be. And then the actual episodes themselves, like, gameplay-wise, I think there's only 3 types. So they all take place in different levels. But there's raid ones, which are similar to raids. Like, you do various things throughout the journey, I guess, to the end. And then you fight a raid boss. There's escort ones, where there's, like, a giant, usually it's like a giant spider tank looking thing, and you just gotta escort it around to different places. And then the third one was, defense. And there'll be multiple different places where you have to, it's like the story missions of Destiny. It's like, oh, we're doing this thing, hold out while we finish, and then you do the thing. Or no, you hold out, and they do the thing.
It'd be nice if you get to do the thing every once in a while.
That'd be nice.
Like, I like to feel useful, but no, it's fine. It's fine. I'll just be the fighter bait person. It's cool.
So the cool part is you can only matchmake into the first, like when you initially start, you can only matchmake into the first 7 episodes. Then once you've beat all of those, then there's like a special queue just for the 8th episode. So you'll never go into the game and then like the first game that you play is the last episode. Because that one, I guess that one closes out the story. All the ones in the middle are just like, we're doing this thing here. It's like, oh, now we're doing this thing here. We have to, you know, free this AI warrior who's going to be really awesome for us. Like, oh, we have to gather this data from this giant spider tank thing and then bring it back to the ship and just all these things. The last one is like, yeah, you fight the big bad and it's like a boss run. I tried to solo it and it's like, yeah, they scale it in the number of bosses they make you fight in a row. So I think we had to fight 4 of them when I had a team of 5, and when I soloed it, I had to fight 2. So that part's kind of cool. The not cool part is like, there are no checkpoints. Everything is old Nightfall style. So if you fail an objective or everyone dies, then you're just kicked back out, and then you have to start from the beginning.
That sounds fun.
These missions are long by yourself. Well, this is another part. If you play by yourself, a lot of them take like an hour or over an hour.
What?
They're very long. If you're playing with a group, though, you can do them as fast as like 23 minutes, I think, was one of the fastest ones. It was a defense one. But yeah, they're usually between like 25 and 40 minutes long. And, oh my gosh. So, okay. So I've told you about the queue where you don't get to choose. At one point I reached like, okay, I just have episode 7 left. So if I beat that one, then I can play episode 8 and then finish the game, which is my goal here. So I was just going into the random queues like, oh, Is this one it? Like, oh yeah, this one is it. Okay, so vote for episode 7. And I got into episode 7, played for like 40 minutes, and we got to this one defense part, and the thing we were defending just like melted. I had no idea like what happened. Usually the defense seemed pretty easy, but this one, it was suddenly you watch its health bar and it dropped to nothing, and then we failed. I have to start over. So, you know, starting over isn't like reset, try again. It's okay, re-queue.
Go back to the queue.
That's terrible. Hope that the queue.
And then hope that you get that one.
Yeah, hope that one, that's one of the random choices. And then play it. That happened to me like 6 times for episode 7.
It dropped.
And I played probably 15 games before I got those 6 tries. Because, like, I didn't want to feel like it. You know, I didn't want to be a jerk and just like leave people if it wasn't the one that I wanted.
Should have been. You should have been a jerk.
It's matchmaking for a reason, Drop to Cool. Who cares about those people? They'll get it matched.
The game actually says if you leave in the middle, it says, oh, if you leave this one, you can't start a new match. You can only rejoin this one. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a good system, except that you totally can re-queue. Because, like, you jump out, and then you go back, and it says, oh, this one that you're matched into is still in progress. Do you want to rejoin? And I said, if you say yes, then you rejoin. If you say no, it actually starts another queue. It's like, so you lied to me. Lie to people?
Like, in my face. In my face.
I wonder if it works on anyone. It probably does. But I was just like, I was just trying it out. I was like, I think this is a good system because then, you know, it lessens the number of jerks because, oh my gosh, I'll get to PvP. Tons of jerks. But yeah, like finally on the 6th. So I asked for help on Facebook. I was like, okay, who has Battleborn? Like, I need help. And I don't want to go into this random queue again because I've played so many more games than I had to.
For Tropical.
And before anyone responded, like, I bashed into another one, got in, and we actually finished it that time. It was like, oh my gosh, I finally finished it. So the key was just asking for help. Doesn't matter if you get it or not, you just have to ask. Then I got to 8, and I was like, okay, I started matchmaking, and I matched with 4 other players, but then when it started, I was by myself, and I was like, what's going on? Maybe they'll join me later? Maybe it's like you start out by yourself, and then everyone meets up? That didn't happen, and I just, like, had to go through the whole thing. And, yeah, like, it took an hour to beat the last mission, and you get, like, different ratings based on how well you do, and that ties into, like, character unlocks. And one of the characters requires you to get silver on all of the missions, and I only got bronze by myself. It's like, oh, dang. So I had to, like, I matched several times, and I still haven't gotten past bronze. Like, the last boss is pretty hard. Although I suspect it's because everyone just chooses the character that they want. And what we actually should be doing is choosing, like, the right characters. Yeah, like, if they'll complement each other. So that's what happened with episode 7. The time that I beat it, I chose a melee character so that I could just, like, stand near the thing that was going to get attacked and just die really quickly. And I was like, I'm just going to stand here and watch it. And then when the bad guys come, I'm just going to hack them to death with my axe. That time I didn't make it though, because that's when I discovered, like, oh, it's actually these like big bads, major baddies that appear in a distance and they just start bombarding it. Which is totally different than all the other AI. The AI seems to like go for you first. And so that time we died, but then the second time I was like, okay, now I got it. I just have to run over there as my melee guy and charge them and stun them so they can't attack and then just like unleash the beast and destroy them. So yay, I beat Battleborn. Right? Yeah? Nothing
you did? Now you'll never have to play it again.
Well, so I started playing a lot of PvP to sort of unlock the rest of the characters. And man, people give up really easily in Battleborn. Like they'll take a few deaths right at the beginning and be like, oh, vote to surrender. It's like, really? It hasn't even started. Like they haven't even attacked our you know, forward sentry yet. It's like, why are you trying to surrender now? And like people will quit before the game even starts if they see it. Like, oh, you're too low level. I don't want to play with you. And then they'll just quit. It's like, people, man, so much disconnecting. It's pretty annoying. But character unlocking is pretty cool because they give you 2 ways to do all of them. So regardless of whether you play a campaign or PvP, you can always unlock all the characters. It'll just take way longer if you're doing only PvP. I guess the games are shorter, but you have to rank up to 40 to unlock everyone. And in order to do it in campaign, actually no. I guess you have to play a little bit of, the fastest way is to play a little bit of both. And then the rank 40 characters that you unlock are, you have to beat the campaign missions on advanced difficulty and get, I think, silver on all of them. I haven't even seen that yet. You can't matchmake into advanced. It's sort of like, I guess, Destiny's raids or like hard mode. Or I guess Nightfall used to be like that, right?
Used to be like what?
There was no matchmaking?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, you had to have a party for.
Yeah. So you can't play hard mode random matchmaking in Battleborn either. Other than that, it's the characters, like, I haven't played very many of the characters, but every time I try a new one, it's like, oh wow, this character has some interesting things going on that you can do. And it's very, yeah, it feels very much like MOBA type game, I guess, cause it kinda is. Cause like, if you choose the right skills, you can, well, I guess Borderlands was like that too. Like you could I always make these characters that just, like, they can do a lot of damage, but they die super easily. And so, yeah, like, if you pick all the right skills and synergize everything, then you can be super powerful. But if you're not used to playing MOBAs, it's very different. Whereas, like, in, like, Call of Duty, you just sort of... So there's minions, and the minions are supposed to help you take down the Sentinels, and there's, like, two of them. And so you have to protect the minions and kill the other side's minions. But a lot of people don't think about that. Like, they go out into the front lines and they think, oh, I see enemy players over there. I'm going to start shooting at them and try to kill them. Which isn't actually a good strategy because they're much harder to kill for one reason. And if you, or what did I just say? They're much harder to kill. And if you don't kill them, then you get no XP. And so then you need to get XP, like, to get... The easiest way to kill the other players is to level faster than them. And then once you're higher level than them, then you can, you know, be very sloppy and they can hit you a lot and you can hit them the same amount, but they'll be dead and you'll be, like, mostly alive. So you gotta kill the minions first to get XP. So then you have more skills, more health, more everything. And then when you have the advantage, that's when you kill people. So yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Or is it? Or do you?
it was kind of frustrating to beat it. But other than that, I think the characters are very fun. I can't wait to play Overwatch actually next week. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Tropical Ninja Turtles.
I know. Why'd they have to be the same day? Did you play Overwatch during the beta?
Briefly, but I only played as that one guy. The guy with the orbs.
Yes. It's fun too. I like him.
There's only PvP though. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Oh, I thought of a middle segment.
Yay.
So that'll be
we
fun.
We haven't even gotten through the first one yet. Yay.
Then I played a third thing. Oh, right. So, like, Microsoft's Windows and Xbox games thing has started, and they released, beta version of the free-to-play game Forza Motorsport 6. I think it's called Apex. And I had heard that it scales really well with your hardware. So if you have Windows 10, you can just download it for free, and the game does this thing. You know how lots of console games will Overwatch does this. It's 1080p most of the time, but if it needs to, it can drop its resolution and, like, to keep the responsiveness. And Forza actually does that on PC where it drops, like, it can change so many different settings, dynamically, second by second, to keep the game responsive. And I was like, oh, really? So I'm going to play it on my 5-year-old laptop, and it'll be playable?
No.
It was playable, up to a point. Once it got to the supercars, then I guess stuff was moving around too quickly, and then it just couldn't keep up. But before that, it was totally fine, and it looked pretty good, and I was like, wow, this is sort of impressive. Like, I think if they can use this kind of tech on all of the universal Windows platform games, then that would be pretty huge. But it's hard to say if they're going to do that. As for the game itself, so you remember Forza for Xbox One's, like, what was the big thing about that? Well, it was Drivatars, where playing connected online, you teach, like, an AI to drive like you, and then those AI that have been trained populate your friends' games, and then so you're driving against your friends, sort of. My friends must be really bad drivers. There was one race. It was crazy. He was like, he must have been 10 seconds ahead of me. And there was just no way I was going to catch him. I was like, okay, he's doing pretty well. And then at the very end, I came in first. So I was like, what the heck happened? I didn't pass. I never saw him. Like, I didn't pass him. What happened? Well, I went and watched the replay, and it turns out on the last turn, he missed it a little bit and went into the pit and then, like, hit a wall and was just, like, stuck in the pit lane. I was like, that was insane. It's like, see, I don't know if I want this. Like, yeah, that was the thing that I said when Drivatar was first announced. I was like, most people that I've watched play driving games, like, aren't very good. So why would you want that in your simulation? Yeah. And so, like, winning that race is like, well, I guess I'm glad that I won, but I didn't really win because, like, he just messed up in a very sort of unrealistic way, I guess. yeah, it's like he fell asleep in the last straightway and then was like, oh my gosh! Turned into the pit. And yeah, there was a lot of, you see a lot of weird stuff happening. It's like, I don't know if I prefer this. I feel like, you know, a simulation, you expect the others to be professionals and you're trying to, you know, you're playing professional when you're playing like Gran Turismo or whatever. So they shouldn't be doing, you know, like everyone speeds down at maximum speed down the first street, speedway, and then half of the cars slide off into the grass on the first turn. Like, that's what you see online, like when you play real people. And that's what you see in Forza 6, at least with my friends list. So, like, I don't know if I'd like this. it doesn't feel like I won. I mean, I guess technically I did, but it's just,
it's not the same.
Some stupid stuff happened and that's why I won. So yeah, that's those three. That's why I'm playing.
So I don't play racing games.
I might have dozed off a bit for a part of that Forza talk, because I only came back when you're talking about, like, the professionalism sliding off the track at the very end. I'm back. So, yeah.
Wow. Wake up.
I think you fell asleep during Battleborn. Maybe.
I think I did, too.
Well, Battleborn is so amazing.
Your RPG, what are you even playing?
Amazing, guys. So I picked up Toketen Kowami, or however you pronounce it. It's very similar to
Extreme.
Does it really?
Yes.
Why does everything have to be Extreme again?
But in Japanese, you don't know it. Otherwise, you may not have bought it.
I wouldn't have, because I was like, people naming stuff Extreme is so. Ugh, so lazy. But yeah, it's very similar to the like Soul Sacrifice Delta, in the sense that it's kind of like a semi sequel, but more like an updated port kind of at the same time. It's weird because it's like they have all the content from the original game, but then after you finish that, it starts the content for, there's like a whole new side story, which is like the same length as the initial story. So it's kind of just like, basically they just threw a second game inside of the first one and they're like, here, it's fine. It's fine, guys. We're not going to do a sequel. We're just going to extend the main game with a whole nother game because reasons. So I beat the like main story stuff because, I mean, I had already played through it before, so I knew what was going on and how to get through it faster. So it's like, I got that and started the, I guess the extreme part, which, God, that is so just... But,
the Kiwami part?
Yes, the Kiwami part. Ugh, gross. But, so it's like all these, so they introduce all these new characters and all this other stuff going on and this whole new mission to do and everything. And, this release has like, they introduce new weapons and, new monsters and stuff. So now there's a rifle, weapon type, what the hell is that spear-looking thing called? Naginata, maybe? That? Nagita? Something? That?
The long stick.
The long stick.
Blade on the edge. Yeah.
it looks like a halberd, but it's not, because it's called something else. And then also, they introduced the giant club, which is like a hammer, but not. So, mostly just, I've been playing, like, with Dagger Online to, like, get monster parts and stuff so I can change or get like new the new armors and everything. So we've just been doing that. But you know, it's just the usual hunting monsters and, you know, killing stuff, that fun stuff. Other than that, I've been making my way through Bravely Second because I figured I was eventually going to have to, and I said, why not? Why not? So, this game, what is there to say about it? It's Bravely Default, but a sequel. So that is happening, is how that's going. It's they brought back some of the stuff from the old game, like the rebuilding the city mechanic, but now it's like on the moon. So you have to like, it's basically like one of those things, like when your game is idle, you put like the residents inside of these various like things to like level them up, and then it'll produce different materials for you, like new weapons, new special attacks, new parts for the special attacks, and all this other stuff, and then you level them up. And it takes like a certain amount of time each time you level it up, and it like increases with the level. So, but it's mainly, I mainly do it whenever I'm like at work or whatever. So it's like my town is like completely leveled up now because it's like I'm at work so much and just my game is like constantly idle. So now I have like all the special moves and all the parts. So it's like, yay! Super powered moves before I even get to like the mid game. So great. But they also introduced this people at Square Enix, there's a new monster type, because like in the previous one it's the same thing with the rebuild of town where there'd be like a monster attack with like these, they're like all like boss level monsters, but they're like at different levels and stuff. But in this one, they called them balls, and the inevitable ball jokes started to roll in. And I was like, oh gosh, this is going to get groan worthy. Cause like one of the characters calls her a ball buster as her like official occupation thing. And then there was the whole, they were trying to figure out initially what she meant by what a ball was. And then Adia was like, are you talking about balls or and then they're like, oh, just don't even. So it's like there's been like this ongoing running gag with the whole ball joke thing, and it's just like, oh, groan, guys, groan. So it's kind of meh. But yeah, you can like also with those things, you can like level up ships that are at the town so they can like kind of attack the balls before you do, so you can like weaken them and then just attack them and get your rewards or whatever you get from winning the fights and stuff. But they added like new classes, I guess, to not have like the same stuff from the last time. But they come with like these different twists, because like the Black Mage like class in this one's called the Wizard, and the way it works is like all the magic is group magic, so but it's all elemental. But you can, the way you can use it is you can use the secondary skill called Spellcraft, which allows you to like mutate the spells into different things. Like you can like make these dart spells with elements, or you can make like a spell that like kind of like does like a it's more like a poison effect, but with the element, and it's like a mist effect where it like attacks the enemies every turn at the end of each turn. And it's like you can do like different things to the spells and everything, so it's kind of cool. And but they also have the old classes from the previous game, but instead of being able to get them like you would during a normal game, you have to actually get them through the side quest, but you can only choose one each time you do the side quest. So it'll be, the way it works is like there'll be two like I guess like opposing classes in each of the side stores. Like in the first one, it's the thief and the red mage, and then in the next one, it's the summoner and the sword master. And in each one, it's whoever you decide you want to like side with, you fight the other one, and you can get that class, but you lose the other class in the process. So you kind of like can only choose one class from each thingy and not get all of them, kind of thing. So but yeah, I just been playing that, and kind of working my way through it slowly but surely, painfully, because my control stick is broken, so trying to navigate dungeons is super fun because I'm like, oh my god, my finger hurts. My finger hurts and I can't do this. So, yeah. It's, yeah. I need to get another 3DS because this is getting ridiculous because now it's just making it difficult for me to play stuff. So, yeah. And then other than that, I've been playing Raid Gigant, and I think I'm in like chapter 3 now or something. And it's like, it's a dungeon crawler mixed with a visual novel, kind of, which is weird for that genre because usually dungeon crawlers are kind of don't really bother with the storytelling stuff and kind of just like, hey, go in this dungeon, kill stuff, rinse and repeat over and over again. So this one has like a bit of a story focus. So you kind of do stuff and learn about the characters and all that other stuff and trying to figure out why these gigants are just appearing randomly out of places and trying to kill everybody. So yeah, that's pretty much it though. That's all I've been playing, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all I've been playing.
Okay. For sure.
So I thought of a middle segment. Yeah. Sure, what you've been playing.
Middle segment.
It's a trap.
Let's do it. Well, so as you heard, I've been playing a lot of Battleborn, and I'm looking forward to Overwatch next week. And people have been lumping the two games together because they're both colorful first-person shooters. But there's an interesting thing, or I find it interesting, like, the different tacks that they're taking to sort of woo the people who like story in their games. Battleborn has a single, or not a single player campaign, a story-based campaign. that
single pieces.
Yeah, I. It's, Which I mean, making, technically, technically you can play single player, but it's like playing Payday by yourself.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that? No.
But you know, like, they're single players. Like, I feel like they put a lot of effort into saying, no, we have a campaign, when everyone was saying, oh, it's a MOBA. They came out and were like, no, we have a single player campaign. Here's our single player trailer. Here's our story trailer. Here's all this stuff. Overwatch, on the other hand, has no single player. It's all multiplayer.
Yeah.
But they've been doing like these really cool, animated shorts that sort of tell backstory and sort of fill in the world of Overwatch. What do you think about that?
They should just had a single player campaign.
I agree. Not good enough, dude. No single player, no sell. I was like, man, these animated shorts are amazing. I'm not buying this game because it just makes me want to play this in a story mode, but it's not there and it makes me sad. Especially after the dragon one, I was like, ah, that was amazing. It was like they were ninja fighting, but with crossbows and not swords. I've never seen this before in my life. That was amazing. Too bad I never got to play
really
it.
That was really cool.
That was awesome.
Because, I mean, if you're going to go through the trouble of trying to flesh out this world with these cinematics and everything, you might as well just go ahead and just, you know, put on gameplay, like, in between
how
them.
How much
and
effort
just,
did it take to make these CG cutscenes that are this long and this awesome looking, yet we can't put a story mode in? Well, thanks, Blizzard. Thanks.
I mean, so, I guess to counter that, I would say, look at what happened in Battleborn. Like, they have, so the thing about the story mode is that most of the playable characters, like, that you're playing as don't really figure into the story. They're just like, they're the avatars for the people playing the game. But as far as the story itself, it's completely driven by, like, the guy talking to you on the radio telling you what to do. Cleese, who is a playable character, but, like, he's not, like, the people that you play, it doesn't matter who is in what episode. And so, you know, narrative-wise, it's kind of like, sort of. As far as gameplay-wise, since none of the, like, that's why single-player kind of sucks. Like, the levels aren't tailored to the special abilities of the people that you can play as. So if you think of, like, Overwatch, if they just made a single player campaign that was the same for every character, probably not going to be that great in the way that Battleborn, like,
just is. Because your box dropped the ball doesn't mean somebody else would do the same. Maybe they could have thought of, like, a way around that and, like, maybe have it similar to, like, the Mortal Kombat thing where it's, like, you play as whoever needs to be played as during these points in the story or something, and have them have people, like, choose from, like, the core group that would be important to this and that scenario, and then they could kind of start getting used to other people and stop being all dependent on one person all the time and only playing as the one thing, and then only forcing people to just, like, be like, hey, have this generic level because we don't know who you're going to choose and we don't really care, we just want to shoehorn a single player in here so we can pretend like we cared, but we didn't because reasons. And then you end up with stuff like the Battleborn single player.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like an alternate an alternate version of Big Physique. It's like, but wait, it's a MOBA shooter with story elements, but it's not that great of a story.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, Battleborn's story is fine, I guess. It's just that the story does not flesh out the characters that you play as for the most part.
I missed the tester. That was hilarious. But that's probably why, because they kind of just shoehorned it in without actually thinking, like, okay, maybe if we're doing a story, we should probably actually have some of these characters actually, you know, be important to the story instead of just randoms just all thrown in here and like, hey, what you doing, sir? It's like, I don't know, just kind of going along killing stuff because everybody else is doing it, so I wanted to belong.
Yeah, I think it was made more of, like, a bullet point than it was for, like, I mean, I guess, like, well, like, looking at it now, since it's, like, out, it's, like, if you look at, like, Paragon or Smite or any of the other stuff, it's, like, you know, they weren't going for that, so they're just trying to be what they are, and, like, Battleborn was like, well, I guess we can try, and they just didn't succeed, so.
They sort of,
like, yeah, let's just do what we do and, like, put 100% effort into, like, doing one thing awesomely, and that means not having a story, but we'll have these sweet cinematics. Yeah, dudes. But no story mode, sorry.
Disappoint.
And then I'm like, actually, well, yeah, I'm not gonna buy the game then.
Been
I don't
awesome.
Care what people say about it. So sorry, Blizzard, awesome. Not getting my money on this one, unless it's like $5 Black Friday, so
Oh wells.
That's an interesting.
Maybe they'll add a story mode when they add more heroes in DLC or something.
I mean, they could, I guess. Like, when I think about, say, Heroes of the Storm, you know, the stories for all of those characters are, you know, entirely different games, and they're just these giant games. Like, StarCraft has been around for 15, 17 years, and it's like, that's where those characters come from. Like, that's where we know them from. I think that's why that game is so successful. Overwatch, I've just been really impressed by the way that they're trying to do some of that without having to
go through the effort.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess RPG's suggestion, Mortal Kombat did that really well. And then actually, I don't remember exactly, but I think Fall of Cybertron? Did they do it in that way?
What way?
Where, like, every chapter or whatever was, like, built specifically around abilities of the character.
Yeah, like each chapter was a different, I don't know if each chapter was a different character, but, like, you had, that was the cool thing, I think that was the one, because, like, it had, like, each chapter was, like, a different character, and then at the end, it was, like, they all, like, switched every section of that mission of, like, and now you're Jazz, and now you're, Bruticus, and now you're Blastoff, and now you choose Megatron or Optimus. It's like, that was the best one. I love that game.
So, yeah, I guess that's one way that they could do an Overwatch single player. I feel like Overwatch single player, though, they might go, well, I guess it depends on how much they make. I feel like they would go sort of, there would be a campaign for each character. Or maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part.
Yeah, it seems like it is more like, well, since it is like the same team behind Borderlands, it makes sense that, like, it's just a story that you play through as that character, and, like, they're just interchangeable. Because that's how Borderlands is.
I mean, I guess that's how, you know, it worked fine in the first one. And then we didn't really learn a lot about those characters until the second game.
But wasn't there, like, something where it, like, said that, like, Battleborn, like, outsold both of those or something? It was, like, the best-selling or fastest-selling or something.
Oh, really?
From them for debut or something.
Well, I mean,
I saw that before, kind of sad, I was like,
before Borderlands. I mean, I guess it's just, like, they're just building a bigger and bigger fan base, I guess.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that with Uncharted. Like, Uncharted 4 apparently is the best-selling Uncharted ever. By a wide margin. And it just makes me think back to when everyone was, or not everyone, but certain outlets were always putting down, you know, PlayStation 3 exclusives sales numbers. It's like, oh, they should just give up. Why are they spending so much money making these games? Like, Uncharted 4 comes out and, you know, like, Xbox is not going to be on top forever. And maybe no one anticipated it'd be so soon, but like, now, that is why you made all those Uncharted games.
The same thing happened with the Ratchet and Clank that was the fastest selling.
Yeah, this Ratchet and Clank, like, we got MPDs this week, and they were the number two game on the top 10, which is insane because you can only get, like, number one was Dark Souls, which is multi-platform, then Ratchet and Clank, and then MLB The Show, which is only on PlayStation as well. So pretty crazy.
Though apparently, yeah, like all of the sequels have been like the fastest selling sequels to their respective games. Because even Dark Souls was like their best launch.
Oh yeah,
for Souls games too. So they're just like,
it's actually kind of reaffirming that, like, see that, because for me it's like, I, like with all this talk of like the crash and stuff, it's like to see that happen. It's like, okay, well, I guess I just have like all these memories of like hearing people on podcasts talk about, like, oh, all my friends that don't play games anymore, then, like, you know, we're the ones that stuck through, we didn't quit, and we didn't stop. It's like, yeah, we still play, yeah. And then, like,
we're in a new golden age.
And then, like, the people behind us that came in, the generation behind us, is like, yeah, we play too. It's like, yeah, we play together, yeah. Golden age before the crash.
For now. Don't.
And then the VR game.
Yeah, I guess, like, also related to other news, like Disney Infinity got canned because apparently they're like, oh, we're not making,
oh, yeah,
or it wasn't, we aren't making money. It was, they said there was slower than expected growth. So they weren't selling more every time they released a new one at the rate that they wanted. And that coupled with Battlefront selling something like 13 million copies, they're like, eh, why do we need to make games? We'll just license out our properties and someone else can take the risks.
Pretty much.
We just want the money.
Someone call it Platinum. They know what they're doing. I've seen their work. Good stuff.
And that's just like, that feels very different than what I guess it always has felt like Sony has been doing, where they release these things and it feels like they're not making a ton of money on them, but, you know, I guess you look at Uncharted 4, Ratchet and Clank, the MLB games, it's just like, they believed, I guess, and then over time, finally, it pays off at some point.
We're not gonna give up, guys. We're not gonna give up.
And Disney was just like, nope, we're done.
Cut the no cord, more. Guys. We're a billion-dollar company.
Let EA make Star Wars. It's fine.
It's ridiculous.
Man, that was very sad.
They have that Square Enix syndrome. Just like when they were disappointed in Tomb Raider's numbers despite the fact that it sold like 3 million copies or something. It's crazy like that. It's like, what's happening right now?
Konami. Although Konami apparently made the right move because they are making way more money now doing mobile stuff. If that's all you care about, fine. Go make your mobile games. We don't want your heartless Metal Gear... Whatever.
If it's not love in there, we don't want it. Keep your crap. Keep your crap.
I guess in that sense, like, Ubisoft is sort of a weird company. They like, they do both. You know, they do annual things that feel kind of like soulless, but then they also make a ton of just like new IPs at a faster rate
like
than any other
that
company
turns out new IPs really. I think
yeah,
at a like amount That's why they're my favorite. Like, and they make weird stuff too. It's like, didn't see that coming.
Every E3, there's always a new thing. AAA IP that they're making.
It's because Assassin's Creed, once it got annualized, they used all that money and they were like, yeah, we could actually make new games, guys. Money, my dear boy, money!
It's funny because I was talking to Gamer about this and I was like, what are you talking about? It's like we're talking about like Ubisoft, and I was like, well, I wouldn't mind a Far Cry every year, but I mean, they didn't need to overdo it. And the Gamer's like, what are you talking about? Taking Far Cry 4 was last year. I was like, Far Cry 4 was last year? I was like, oh, well, maybe I wouldn't mind a Far Cry every year. ... Because Primal was awesome, and so was Far Cry 4. So it's like, whatever. World FPS every year, I could take that.
The problem is that they'd actually have the ability to, like, keep that up, because eventually the quality is going to start to degrade, because it's like, okay, we can make great games.
Probably wouldn't, because Far Cry 4, I think, was also on PS3 and 360, whereas, like, Primal was only on PS4 and Xbox One, so.
Man, I still need to play those. Luckily, I haven't bought them yet, so that's improvement. That's improvement.
One step at a time.
All right, so I guess we've moved past our brief discussion on world building outside the game and in the game. I guess most of us here prefer in the game.
Obviously, why would you not want a world to be built tropical? Why would you not want a world built?
I'm really digging the Overwatch, like them building it outside of the game.
No, you're not.
Primarily,
all of those Destiny Grimmar cards. Ew, I said the D word. Ew, I felt like.
Grimmar cards aren't really entertaining. You know, it's like.
But they house the lore.
It's hard tropical. To browse. Then it's just like. Disjointed texts that you're sitting there reading is like, but the maybe Overwatch they're... like animated shorts, so like these are really awesome. And then they're like doing comic books, and I'm reading the comics, and I'm like, wow, these are really awesome.
Maybe Bungie should have done something like that, so they could.
Yeah, they should have done animated shorts,
so they can just kind of like enrich the world that basically doesn't exist. And
you've
like, hey, guys,
read about Tolan. Well, here's a story. He's kind of crazy, but you already knew that. Him and Eris, they hang out a bit.
Fingerprints on my mind!
Let's go into that news then. MPD's April, PS4 was number one again, Xbox One, and Wii U. So nothing new there. Dark Souls 3 was number one in software, Ratchet and Clank, MOB 16. Then we got Tom Clancy's The Division.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
Minecraft.
Ew.
Quantum Break. Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
NBA 2K16.
Wasn't there something about like GTA 5 shipping like 47 million copies or something stupid?
Ridiculous number of copies.
Yes.
Yes.
Holy balls.
And number 10 was actually Star Fox Zero.
Huh.
Eh.
Wii U.
Eh.
Every game except for Minecraft and Black Ops 3 sold more on PS4. And obviously Quantum Break and Star Fox Zero, which don't exist
platforms.
On PS4.
Yeah. It's platform exclusive, so.
But then, you know, this doesn't cover...
digital.
I think MPDs covers less and less of the games actually sold, because there's just so many ways to get them now. And then the other thing we touched upon with Disney Infinity being canceled, I think it was, I want to say Kotaku or Polygon, one of those. They went and like did some research and asked questions and found out that, in addition to slower than expected growth in the toys life market, Disney may also have made some missteps that made them decide, eh, we're not going to do this anymore. One of those being, with Disney Infinity 1, there was like toy shortages. So there are still characters out there that are pretty hard to find for Disney Infinity 1.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nintendo and these other companies are just like, eh, whatever, shortages are shortages. Or at least that's how they seem to behave. Disney was like, no. You know, they took it very seriously. Like, that is lost revenue. And so for Disney Infinity 2, they were like, for example, Hulk, they were really confident that people would want Hulk, and they made 2 million
oh.
Hulk figures, of which they sold only a million. so they had like lots of leftover inventory, and so you look at like when Marvel Battlegrounds came out, it's like, oh, it supports all the 2.0 Marvel characters, and so it felt very sort of like, oh, they're trying to sell 2.0 characters, and now we kind of maybe know why. Because they made way too many figures for 2.0. Yes, that's bad.
Dun, dun, dun.
And yeah, like the Battlefront thing I mentioned was like, well, why make it ourselves when we can make a ton of money when someone else makes it?
Money, my dear boy, money.
So like, it's not just the end of Disney Infinity. It is the end of Disney publishing games. They're just going to license out their properties from now on.
I mean, they're rich enough as it is.
I mean, I still like Disney, and I guess it's sort of sad. Like, they only made the Mickey, Minnie, and Donald figures. So they missed Goofy. Arguably also one of those. And yeah, just so many characters that got missed, and now they're not making any more. Apparently there were really awesome plans for 4.0 coming out next year. They were going to do things like 12-inch figures. So like the regular figures now are 4-inch. They were going to do 12-inch giant figures.
Oh my.
They were going to do... I bet Thanos was one of those.
Giant man.
Giant man.
You can't miss that opportunity.
They were going to do things like make a toy box story mode. So, like, all the campaigns so far, you could only use, like, the characters from their respective universes in them. And they were planning on doing a toy box version where, like, you could have those crossovers happen. Oh, yeah, that was another thing. Like, they sort of internal studio politics sort of killed it as well. Apparently, like, they wanted Guardians of the Galaxy. And the Guardians of the Galaxy guys were like, okay, fine, you can have the Guardians, but you also need to make a Yondu figure and a Ronin figure. And when you think about that, maybe Ronin, but like Yondu was sort of a minor character in the movie, so sort of a weird figure to make.
It's like, why would we do this?
Yeah, they had to do these things to get the characters that they wanted. So for Star Wars, apparently they weren't going to do... They were just going to do Force Awakens, but internally they were like, no, you also have to do Star Wars Rebels. And so they had to make all the Star Wars Rebels characters as well.
Oh, is that who those random characters, I don't know who they are?
Yep.
Because like, I've seen like the wall of figures, and I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are, but they have lightsabers, so they must be Star Wars characters. So, all right. All right, guys, we're just releasing random people now, aren't we?
Yep.
Just don't care anymore.
Like,
just don't care.
Internal politics. Very sad. So we just have the last two launches now. It's going to be Alice Through the Looking Glass. Three figures coming out next week. And then the week that Finding Dory comes out, there's a Finding Dory playset with a Dory figure and a Nemo figure sold separately. I think I'm going to have to pick those up. I don't think I can wait for sales this time, because I feel like they're probably not going to make that many of them. Yeah. Like, we just want to be done with this. Just make, you know, however minimum you think we need.
Put out 10, call it a day. If anybody needs any more, well, too bad.
It sort of explains, I guess, how all the sales that we've seen for Disney Infinity figures. They must have a lot of them. Although, who knows? So, I was just randomly looking for news. This is the stuff that I saw that seems very recent. Batman Return to Arkham is a thing. What are they calling it? I guess it's a remastered collection of the first two Arkham games, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, coming to current-gen consoles.
They could have at least put like a download code for Arkham Knight or something in there if they're going to do that. So it's like, Yeah, just have the whole pack.
Yeah. Do they look any better to you?
No,
you don't. Yeah, they look exactly the same to me. It's like, those games did not look bad.
Well, see, that's the thing, too, because I'm like, that's what I don't understand, or like, some of these remasters, is like, okay, the game, I mean, once again, these games are already in HD anyway, because they're coming from the last generation, yeah. But it's like, a lot of these games didn't look bad to begin with, so it's like, you're not really doing much to them for these quote-unquote remasters, so it's like, it basically be like Square Enix is like, hey, let's remaster Final Fantasy 13, even though it's like one of the best-looking games we've made so far. It's like, it's bad, guys. They'll never notice. So it's like, I don't, it's just, it doesn't make sense to me.
I saw footage of Dead Space 1 today, and that game looks terrible now. It's weird. Like, that game looked amazing if I remember correctly. But I saw it, I was like, wow, that does not look good at all. yeah, this one, so apparently this one's being done by a Chinese studio called Virtuos. Never heard of them. And they're making it in Unreal Engine 4 as opposed to Unreal Engine 3, which the original was on. Yeah, but it looks like...
But it looks like exactly the same, so...
You know, I thought they would do, you know how the PC versions of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, they had all these like physics stuff that they added? Yeah. So for example,
like glass and the cape.
Yeah, like the cape was different. There was like lots of paper and stuff on the ground that would get thrown into the air when you're doing cape stuff. And none of that seems to be in this one. It just looks exactly the same.
Because they did literally nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm questioning whether or not they actually even used Unreal Engine 4. They just said that because they're like, well, we're putting it on the current gen console, so we have to at least say we made it, and these industry people think we did. They didn't.
And it's going to be $50.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah, and I was like, no way in hell. Go for yourself. Really? City, go for yourself. WB. Not happening.
So, I mean...
Especially without Origins, which has like the best combat in the series. It's like... Taking that buying this. No, thank you.
Yeah, if you're only going to do... See, that's the thing. It's like, it's not much of a collection. It's just like...
Yeah, if you don't have all... At least the three that Rocksteady made. Like, if you're going to do it like that, then Arkham Knight should be in there.
Yeah, it's like, go all in. Don't just, like, half do this. It's like, you know what? Nope. Nope. Nope, guys. Nope. Nope.
You like playing old games with zero enhancements? Here you go. It's only $10 less than a current gen game. Because money, dear boy. Money.
Money! Yeah, it's... Yeah. This just screams cash in.
Very strange. Kojima Productions. So Hideo Kojima has been teasing recently that the logo for the new Kojima Productions, that sort of skull in the helmet... has a body.
It's true. It's like a Power Ranger.
Yeah, he finally showed like the full picture of the guy or whatever it is, because it still looks like a skull in there. The character's name is Ludens, Ludens.
It's gonna be like Dark Souls in space. In space.
He's wearing an he is wearing an extra vehicular activity creative suit.
Geneva.
And they're going to.
I just like, guys, it's happening. It's happening, guys. We've been waiting for it all this time. It's happening.
So,
they have that's childhood trauma. All
over that's again. A weird thing, but feels appropriate for Kojima. We don't know anything about his game. Maybe it's just gonna start this guy.
Gonna be angels in it. And people are gonna be getting effed up. They're like, hey, we're happy because we think everything's gonna be fine. And the next thing you know, whoop, poking out my eyeballs. Oh, trauma in my head. Yeah. This is not kid friendly at all. Good times. Good times.
So yesterday EA had their annual investors day and they talked about stuff. Some of the stuff they talked about, Battlefront had no single player campaign so that they could release in time for The Force Awakens.
Ha! I knew it was an ET situation. I knew it. I knew it. I was like playing that game. I was like, this is so, like, I had instant buyer's remorse like the second I played that game. I was like, why did I listen to Buff? I have so much
regret. We haven't even had a Battlefront game night. Have you?
I'm just about to say,
I don't think it ever happened.
I was like, never again am I listening to that Canadian. Never again.
Because they set up the community and everything, and then nothing. They're like, nope. No friend time, guys. JK. JK. You all fell for the trap.
Also, one of the questions they were asked, this is EA boss Andrew Wilson. Someone asked him if he was concerned that Battlefield 1, if it's associated with Xbox One, will people on PS4 like not want the game? And, you know, investors are concerned about that because PS4 has way more install base. And apparently EA is like, no, I don't think they care. They know that it's coming to their platform. I guess their data shows that there isn't really any benefit to Xbox, but Xbox believes that there's benefit, and so EA wins either way. I saw that news story. I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, and then they released a trailer for the Assassin's Creed movie coming out in December, which seemed, looks okay, but,
Was the guy in, like, the assassin, was that played by a different person, or is that still...
Nope, it's still him.
Huh, they don't look the same.
Well, apparently the movie is going to be set mostly in the present day.
What? The game should have been, but they weren't.
They said 65% present day, 35% in the Animus, 15th century Spain. Yeah, that's sort of weird.
Wait, about that.
Well, from my understanding, I think they're trying to, it's supposed to be a take on what, was it 3, I think it was? The one where it was like he was basically only using it for training himself to use outside.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think that's how the movie's supposed to be set up, where it's like he's basically only using it to be training for being an assassin outside of the machine because they need him now, not like whatever nonsense is going on, whatever happens. And
back in the day.
We don't need this.
Went down.
We just need you to train as the best assassin that ever assassined, and then back in the...
All right.
Like, sounds fun, guys. Let's get up in there. But, yeah. Because, I mean, that's how I kind of wanted the games to eventually go, but then it kind of seemed like they went to the reverse. And it's like you spent more time in the Animus as it went on, as opposed to, like, dealing with the fact that the Templars are kind of already taking over the world, and you can't kind of be playing in whatever this glorified virtual reality thing is, because, yeah, kind of have a war going on right now, guys.
I'm getting really into that, actually. And I only have 4 other Assassin's Creed games to finish.
Sure.
Anyways, moving on to the last story, Paragon Open Beta Weekend, May 26th through 30th. <Too late. laughs> It'll be not this weekend, but the weekend after that.
Yay, I'll actually play it this time because I didn't last time, and I was like, all right, that beta was going on, and then I didn't play it.
They've changed the game like somewhat significantly since I first started talking about it. They upped everyone's movement speed. So before, there was all these penalties. It was like, oh, if you're running backwards, you're slower. It's like, makes sense. But that means basically, like, I'm just going to die with my back turned every time then.
Basically.
Because it's not like the forward running speed was much faster. Now it's like everyone moves a bit faster, so you can do some sort of fancy footwork stuff to get out of some situations. Though it's still pretty hard.
I saw one character, they announced that little monkey thingy, imp, whatever the hell thing, that guy, robot monkey.
On top of the dragon? Oh, with the robot?
The new robot one, yeah.
Yes. He seems cool. Very powerful. But I haven't tried him yet.
That's cool.
I'm still using the same character, and yeah, I think I figured out how to play it. So it's like, oh, cool, now it's fun. Now I'm like... looking at my deck and trying to figure out what equipment do I want to bring into the match, and then doing that is like, oh, this is fun.
It only took 70 hours, but it's fun now, guys.
It took forever.
Yay.
But, you know, that could also be a middle segment. It's about games that have steeper learning curves. I think it's been a long time since I've had to learn a game like this. And when I say learn, I mean get beaten down repeatedly until finally I'm like, I get it.
Like, I understand now. I understand how wrong I've been. I understand.
Paragon was like that. Battleborn is kind of like that too.
Mm-hmm. Man, slightly failing, related. Because I was like, because like a friend of mine apparently picked up Bloodborne like recently, and I saw him playing it, and I was like, oh, you bought Bloodborne? And I was like, he was like, oh, have you played this before? I was like, I've already beaten it. But I mean, that aside, it's like, I could totally help you, because I helped that one guy named Tropical, who was terrible. And I was like, it's cool.
They have no
level limits on it. So I had him summon me, and I was like, okay, thinking about this now, I'm probably extremely rusty, because I have not played this game since actually helping Tropical. So I was like, so it's cool though, like riding a bike. So we go into like the first boss fight, and I'm like getting beaten, and I'm like, well, this isn't good. So it's like, it's a good thing I'm such a high level compared to like comparatively, because it's like I was able to take a bunch of hits before. I was like, okay, I got the controls down again, guys. Got it down again. Got this. So it's like when you have to relearn stuff, I guess. The game is difficult to play, especially after playing Dark Souls, which is, even though they did make the combat a bit more, I guess, aggressive, it's like, it's still not Bloodborne, because you don't have shields in Bloodborne. You can only counterattack and not get killed, is how that goes. So it's like, oh. So yeah.
I am never going to see the rest of that game, am I?
Probably not.
Oh, so I wonder if that applies. Yeah, I guess I never thought about that one. Like, Paragon and Battleborn are examples of games that I had to learn, and I like pushed through and learned it. Whereas Bloodborne and Demon's Souls are examples of games that are, I had to learn, but I never did.
It's like, guys, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it, guys. I'm getting it.
I did not hit myself hard enough against that wall repeatedly. And so never figured it out. That's very sad. That saddens me.
Wait, was Bloodborne like your first, like, of that series of games?
No, I played Demon's Souls.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Demon's Soul. I forget.
I think it's like
possessive, plural, whatever.
Nonsense like that. Something weird. Because I think it was his first. Because I was like, wait, have you never played a Souls game before? He's like, no. It's like, oh, well, this is going to be not fun for you at all. So good luck with that. Good luck.
Oh, I missed out on playing the alpha for Neo. That one interests me, but you said they didn't do it right. But I would like to see From Software make a similar game set in a different type of setting. Because I don't really like the knights and monsters. Yeah, Bloodborne was cool because of the setting. That's why I got that one. I don't have any of the Dark Souls games. I only have the Demon's Souls and Bloodborne. And then, yeah, looking at Neo, it's like, oh, that's cool. It's like that, but samurais, which is a setting that I like better. But since they didn't make it, maybe it's not so good.
Well, it's not so much as not good. It's just like the balance is very, it's just very off. It's very off. Because I think they took the wrong thing that, I guess, because that's the thing is when everybody like uses Dark Souls or the Soul series as their inspiration, they always go for like a difficulty thing, and I don't think they understand that it's like that's not like the reason people like the series. And it's like, but they, and then they always take it to like the extreme. They're like, no, clearly people love this because they play the Souls game and people say how hard they are, so obviously if we make a game that's ridiculously hard, everyone would love it. So yeah, and then they take it to the extreme and it's like, oh I think you did this wrong. So, yeah, I expect that game not to be a fun time for a lot of people.
So that's the news that I have. I want to bring it back to actually a little bit of what I've been playing. And this thing is really stupid, so it's brief. Do you remember there was one of the Steam summer promotion, or I don't know if it was summer promotion, one of the Steam promotions had this game where all you did was like click as fast as you can.
I do not remember that.
You remember that one? Sure. It was, I forget what it was called, but like you didn't have to play it actually. So if you just left it, your character would constantly be doing damage to the enemies while you were away, and you were just trying to make it through levels, and I guess it had something to do with Steam cards or whatnot. But when you were playing it, all you had to do was just like click on the bad guys, and the faster you clicked, the more damage you did. Well, Battleborn, they released something called Battleborn Tap on mobile phones.
Oh, dear.
And it is exactly that game, and it is like the stupidest thing, but it's because you don't get anything from it. Like all you have to do is like download it and link it to your Shift account, and it gives you like one new costume in Battleborn proper. And it's like, so what is the motivation behind playing the game? It's like, I have no idea. But one thing that I think is pretty cool about it is like in the Steam game, you only have one cursor, so you can only click one thing at a time. Battleborn Tap supports, I think, as many fingers as you've got. So you can do crazy numbers of damage.
As in more than one person humanly has, you mean? So if like there are two people, you can just be like, hey, we have two sets of hands. Let's do this.
Oh, baby. I guess I didn't think about that. I just use five fingers. Maybe a sixth one.
Should have taken it to the Kiwami.
The game is so stupid. It's just like, yeah. Essentially, it boils down to there's a bar at the top that shows you how much health the wave that you're fighting has. And at the bottom, there's a bar that represents how much damage per second you're doing. And when you just, like, you hire Battleborn, and, like, they'll be playing automatically, so there's that part where it's like, oh, you don't even have to play this game, it plays itself. But the DPS varies, like, greatly if you're not doing anything. And the other part about it is, like, the numbers just get insane. It's all an illusion, I think, but it's just like, right now, I just left it, and it says it's at level 54, and this wave has 28 trillion HP.
Oh my.
And we're doing, without me tapping, they're doing like 400 billion DPS. And when I do tap, it goes up to, occasionally 600 billion DPS. It's nuts and stupid, but I don't know. It's like a screensaver.
Here we are.
It's entertaining to watch sometimes. So yeah, that's a thing that happened. Scoreboard? Do you want to do scoreboard?
Sure. So with Tropical's recent vanquishing of Uncharted 4 and Battleborn, it brings him up from 5 to 7, so he is one behind you in RPG with your 8, and I'm still in the lead with 13, an unlucky number.
That's with Uncharted 4?
Yep, and 5 in the disputed column.
Well, in my defense, May is like a no-game month for me, so he lucked out.
You have no games?
Like,
I guess you didn't beat the Kiwami part yet. Just the regular part.
What?
Of Tokiden?
But does that count? I don't know. Because it's Tokiden Kiwami Tropical, not Tokiden.
Did I get dropped again?
Yeah, well, I can hear you.
Hello?
Wait, can you guys hear me?
I can hear Tekken.
Okay, RPG got dropped.
RPG got dropped. After we heard him ask.
Yeah, that's weird.
Got dropped.
Okay, sorry. I got dropped again. I think my Skype is being like really stupid.
Yeah. We heard you ask if you got dropped. apparently did not hear a response, which was
I did not.
Yeah, did you beat Tokiden Kiwami or just the Tokiden part?
Just the Tokiden part. I haven't beat the extreme part yet. So.
Extreme part. So. Yeah, I was gonna blaze through Black Ops 3. Except apparently you have to be connected online to play that game? Single player?
That's weird. Why would you need to be connected online for single player?
I don't know, but like PlayStation Network was like, oh, nope. We're not having it. And I was like, fine, won't play it. I'll go to sleep.
So fine. Fine then. I don't care.
Be like that. That has been another aimless Babble Z.
Yay.
Sorry you missed the last week, but
it's all no one complained, fault.
So I don't know if anyone noticed.
They were all silent. It was like a tranquil fury.
Tranquil fury.
They were getting off their pitchforks and things ready, and they're like, ooh, it's all Tekken's fault. Ooh. It's like, I know, guys. I know. He drives me crazy, too. That's what he does. That's what he does.
We're a mere, I think, 3 or 4 weeks away from E3.
Oh, we are really close to E3.
Always our most listened to stuff.
June is going to be a busy month because like, I have like 4 or 5 games coming out that month, and then there's like another 3 in July, and then like another 3 in August, and then like 4 in September. It's going to be like ridiculous. It's going to be like ridiculous, guys. It's going to be a busy summer.
I want to play Doom.
No, you don't.
I think it's cool. Maybe.
No, you don't.
When does No Man's Sky come out? That's in June, right?
June. I believe, because there's nothing in July. I mean, there's stuff in July, but like not stuff that's not RPG stuff.
That's not my stuff, yeah. Because No Man's Sky is like not long after E3, I think. It's like towards the end of the month.
Yeah, I think it's pretty soon after that.
I think it's June 21st, maybe?
That's not a Tuesday.
Or that time?
Oh, yes, it is. Just kidding. That is. Because I forgot Star Ocean and ZCD come out on the 28th, so then a week before that would have been the 21st. So, yeah, that is. Okay, it's a Tuesday. Just kidding. Grand Kingdom comes out actually that day, now that I think about it. So, yeah, just kidding. Just kidding.
Lots of stuff coming up.
It's going to be a busy month, and also Kirby! Oh, my God! Kirby.
So follow us on aimlesspodcast.com because that's where the slightly edited versions of the podcast go up that you can download. Thank you for watching live if you've been doing that. Otherwise, you can watch that on our YouTube channel. Twitch has been pretty dead, but whatever. Give it a subscribe. Facebook and Twitter are also there for you to subscribe to.
I have nothing to stream. It's not my fault.
Oh, that's great.
All my games are handhelds.
Get anything to say before we set off RPG?
We're everywhere. We're under your bed.
Alright, so yeah, one more thing to add about that game that starts with a D is that...
Destiny?
Yeah.
How much you love it?
That one. Is Jared was all like, so Tekken, how long have you been playing that? Or how much? What's your time logged on that game? Because I guess he looked it up, and he was like, I'd like to see yours. And I was like, I looked it up. And apparently, I spent over 77 days playing this game, which is like 1,848 hours, which is almost 1,850, which is almost 1,900, which is I'm going to be, possibly before I stop, eclipsing 2,000 hours. That's kind of depressing. But hey, whatever.
That's
destiny for you.
It should be.
And, you know.
Especially considering it's nowhere near as good as your Mass Effects, and you are probably going to eclipse that time. Keep it up.
I guess it just took that long for me to, you know, realize the mistake I made by playing that game and, you know, realizing that I'll never do something like that again. But, you know, that's that for that. My new sign-off is, you know, you can't spill grind without RNG, so may your loot drops be sweet and RNGesus be gracious on you with them, and
it's not in that order though, does it?
Well, yeah, but those letters you can't spell it without them, so you know.
Yeah, but I mean, usually when people say that, it's like it's usually like because the letters are in the order, or the word inside of the word is like in that order.
Yeah, whatever.
What you just did is just like scrambled. It's not. It's not like Nanogram or something. It's not how that works.
So yeah.
It's not how that works at all.
In Double Z. That's it for this episode. Until you hear from us again, we're now signing off.